Tough Rock Podcast.
Well, today I get the privilege of bringing our second message in the series. How many of you guys think Lori just killed it last week? Didn't she do a good job reminding us of what we have in Jesus? So I hope to do a good job for you today as we talk about the dance of discipleship, a little something that I call the soul samba. All right? So before we do that, we better pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this community of faith. Lord, we trust you with everything in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who's gone before us, that you come behind us, and that, Lord, as we sit here today, Lord, you are attentive to every need that we have. Lord, as we center ourselves and we trust in you and we put our focus on you, Lord, we recognize exactly what Matthew said, that you are a God who has power to overcome. So that we pray for breakthrough in Jesus' name. Help us to hear your word, to apply it, and to walk it out through your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are starting a new year, developing some of our healthy habits that we talk about throughout the year. And today I'm going to be talking about the steps of discipleship. I'm going to be talking about the disciplines of discipleship. Before we dive into that, I wanted to just take a few minutes. And as part of Lori's message, when she was talking to us about the rhythms of grace, she introduced us to a couple named Fred and Ginger, right? Isn't it Fred Rogers? Is that right? And Ginger? Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, right? Yeah. So you guys didn't even correct me. You're so polite. You're so polite. Like high-fluting, super classy couple right there. But I thought I'd keep it a little more real today, and I'm going to show you another person who's got a pretty famous dance, and I want you to watch that, and then we'll dive into the message. So I share that, one, because I think there should be levity in church, right? We should be able to have fun, amen? Amen. Amen. Two, you don't wake up one day and just be able to dance like Napoleon Dynamite, right? Like if you saw the movie, you saw how much he studied the tape and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. And when it comes to dancers, right, you got Michael Jackson about here, got Bruno Mars right about here, and then there's Napoleon. Like, he's in the top three, I think, you know, somewhere. We'll find out someday, somehow. But I did want to just start that as a reminder to all of us that the grace that God has for us, that the dance of discipleship, if you will, is something that he makes possible in our lives. Amen? That's by his empowerment that we're able to do it. But there are some basic steps, some basic disciplines, some basic moves that we need to be practicing in order to experience all that God has for us. So you guys know our text that we've been talking through is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 29. I'm going to read that real quick, and then we're going to dive in. My portion is to talk about loving God with all of our soul. Okay? So let's read it, and then we'll jump in. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 29 says this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" In verse 27, and that's really where we're drilling down today and throughout this series, it says, he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 28 says, "You have answered correctly." Jesus said, "Do this and you will live." So he got the right answer, right? And then verse 29, he realizes, uh-oh, I got the right answer. And it says, but he wanted to justify himself, knowing that he doesn't do that all the time, right? He wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And if you continue to read on in the text, you know that that's where the story of the Good Samaritan comes in. And so there's this feeling of this righteous person, this person that knows the law, this person who could recite back what the scriptures taught about living this life out, how we inherit life, and yet still found that they were woefully short, right? So today I get the privilege of talking to you about our soul. As we sit here today, I know that we don't talk about soul very often unless it has to do with dance moves, right? But the soul is what makes you you. The soul is the breath of God. In fact, the Greek word, psuche, means breath or soul. It's that part of all of us that makes us us. It's where our values come from. It's where things like morals and the issues of wanting to live for a purpose comes from, right? That's just not part of our physiological makeup. That's not part of our training. That's not part of our education. That's that God-centered spot right about here. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I know it's somewhere in here, right? And according to Dr. Ted Roberts, he's a pastor, he's written several books, including ones that really encourage your soul and help you get free and live life in the freedom that God intends. He gives a great definition for it, and it basically says that your soul is the integration point. It integrates, it connects, and it binds together your heart, your mind, and your body. Does that make sense? Now, we've spent a lot of time in our era, in our culture, talking about pop psychology terms, getting familiar with our emotions, and that is part of who we are. But what we're going to talk about today is that God actually abides and has worked through saving our souls. Amen? That the soul is the central nervous system of our entire body. Okay, our entire life, our entire spiritual existence. And so that's what the soul is. And we're going to talk just for a little bit about how do we nurture our soul? How is it that we can give attention to it? So as you sit here today, what's the state of your soul? Do you know? Is it anxious? Is it worried? Is it fretful? Is it happy? Is it content? Is it joyful? As we sit here today, how's your soul? Famous pastor and author Dallas Willard wrote that if your soul is healthy, then no external circumstance can destroy your life. But if your soul is unhealthy, no external circumstance can redeem it, right? So the good news is that this dance of discipleship is a two-step, right? Lori gave us a four-step. Like, I can't do that. I don't have that much rhythm, okay? But I can do two steps. Like, Jesus leads, I respond, right? That he initiates, I do what he asks me to do. And in that, we're going to talk about two basic dance steps today, a little bit later, but I want to just encourage your hearts today. That as you sit here today, through the love and generosity of Jesus Christ, your soul is meant to prosper. Right? 3 John chapter 2, John writes, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul is prospering." So I think we need to get back to the reminder that even when we feel sad, even when our soul struggles, even when we feel maybe depleted or tired or beat down or just not having a great week, we need to be reminded that our soul thrives. Our soul thrives. And our soul has the ability and the power to set all those other emotions in check. Amen? I think that's what I heard Pastor Matthew encouraging us on today. Okay? So when our soul struggles, when life tries to tear it apart, we're tempted, right? We're tempted in those times and those seasons with things that normally we aren't. But we're tempted, and we can try to find solace in coping mechanisms. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Right? That we can try to find solace in coping mechanisms rather than strengthening ourselves in Jesus to nurture it back to health. Think about it with me just for a moment this morning. We get stressed, so what do we want to do? Go veg out, watch that TV a little bit, just check out for a little bit, right? As humans, as people, we tend to turn to mind-numbing, pain-relieving tactics that don't bring relief, at least not relief for very long. Think we self-medicate, we overeat, we overindulge, we over-entertain, we shop for retail therapy, right? Retail therapy, come on. We engage in Twitter battles that we have no need to engage in. We use and abuse alcohol, medications, other drugs to cope with life, or again, the language of just take the edge off, right? I'm here today to encourage this morning that there's a better way. There's another way. There's a better way. It's called soul care, okay? In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus makes the case for soul care. And he basically says this. He asks the question, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their own soul? I'd like to suggest this morning that when we don't pay attention to the state of our soul, chasing all of the things, the accolades, the money, all the things that this world wants to substitute for soul care, that we forfeit the inheritance that Jesus has for us. We forfeit aspects of it. We forfeit the ways that he wants to cultivate that in our lives. So the two-step is simply this. Jesus leads, I respond, right? You know, the psalmists in the Old Testament, the writers of the Old Testament, they knew this, right? If you read Psalm 19:7, it says, I'm going to rip through these pretty quickly, so if you don't have time to look them up, it's okay. Write them down. You can look at them later, okay? Psalm 19:7 says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. Psalm 84:2 says, my soul yearns, it even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's good, right? In other words, they're so aware of what their soul is doing that they recognize that the word revives the soul, that his soul has that yearning for being in the courts of the Lord. And maybe as you sit here today, you're saying, Pastor Chad, you're reading my mail, you're speaking to me because my soul just feels sad today. I'm in a funk. Anybody ever been in a funk? Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's some heavy things that are going on in this world. Many of you guys have heard through social media and through other connections through the congregation that Pastor Debbie was recently diagnosed with cancer and that she was scheduled for surgery for that. And prior to that, we found out that she had a mass on her brain that we needed to, that the doctors needed to go remove this past week. The good news of all of that is that she came through the surgery well, that they got all of it, that she's out of ICU, and she's scheduled to be home next Wednesday. So keep praying for her. We are still awaiting some tests on that biopsy. And so if you can be praying for her, we'll find out that probably Monday or Tuesday, okay? But please be praying for her. The other thing you can do, I know when we get heavy news like that, it's really hard to know what to do. Well, first, we can always pray. Second is we can be generous towards her, right? So we've set up a GoFundMe page. You can find that at northrockchurch.com. If you'd like to do anything to help the family with all these additional medical costs, I know that they would sure be blessed by it, okay? So again, those things happen, and your soul kind of sinks. And it's a feeling of, oh man, how could this be, right? Good news is if you're here today and your soul feels despondent, your soul is sad, you're in a good place because we just read that the word of the Lord revives the soul. Amen? Psalm 42:5, David says it this way. He says, why, my soul, are you so downcast? So he's speaking to it. He's so aware of his soul. He's so in tune with God's work in his life. He says, why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I know they didn't have mirrors back then, or at least not the type of mirrors that we have where you can get all the glam shots, right? You can see all the edges. But I can see him sitting in the mirror looking at himself, poking himself in the chest, saying, my soul, why are you so downcast? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen? That's the hope of Jesus in us. That's the hope of the soul that he saved and he is sanctifying and that he was building up more and more until his return. Amen? So the question this morning that we all have to answer is, am I the keeper of my own soul? Am I the keeper of my soul? My answer to that would be yes and no, right? There's a tension. It's a two-step dance. Jesus leads, I follow, right? You ever danced with somebody that tried to lead when you're trying to lead? It doesn't work so well, right? The dance moves, they just don't work that way. But in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus promises us this. He says, if you'll take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, you will find rest for your souls. So we take it from him. He teaches, right? And we find rest. That's the two-step dance with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:9 16 says, we have this hope. Everybody say hope. As an anchor for our soul in Jesus, right? What we just read. Jesus is the anchor of our soul, firm and secure. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Two-part dance, right? We were going away. We've returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. So what do we do when we recognize, when we acknowledge, when we're willing to admit that our soul is struggling, that we're having a difficult time, that maybe we're looking to other places for the hope that God wants to bring in our lives, the breakthrough that He wants to happen in our lives? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 talks about this soul care. What do we do then? Verse 11 says, dear friends, I urge you, this is the first step in the two-step, to as foreigners, as exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. I'm going to let that sit just for a minute. I don't know if we think about it that often that way, do we? Then when we look to other ways that we know what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives, that we actually partner with something that wants to wage war against our soul. Right? The key to this verse is remembering that this is not our home. Amen? We are foreigners and exiles in this land. Amen? That we have an eternal home with Christ Jesus here and now and forevermore. So part of it's that identity marker, remembering that He leads, I follow. The first step in the dance is that I abstain, right? Abstain just basically means that we don't do it, whatever it is, right? We abstain from the things that war against our soul. But what's the point of abstaining? Abstaining for abstaining purposes is no fun, right? But why do we abstain? We abstain so that we can dance this dance of discipleship, so that we can deepen the dance of discipleship in our lives. I want you to close your eyes and do a little listening exercise with me, if you would, today. I'm going to read something to you. I didn't put it up before you because I wanted you to just let this sit. I want you to, right now, just do the exercise of thinking about your soul. Remembering that that's the most important part of our being. That's what makes us unique. That's what makes us us. I want to read a quote to you from Henri Nouwen. And he basically says this. Discipleship cannot be realized without discipline. Discipline in the spiritual life, however, has nothing to do with the discipline of athletics, academic study, or job training in which physical fitness is achieved, new knowledge is acquired, or a new skill is mastered. Catch this. The discipline of the Christian disciple is not to master anything, but rather to be mastered by the Spirit. True Christian discipleship is the human effort to create space in which the Spirit of God can transform us into His image. Amen? Isn't that good? Isn't that a reminder that it's not about, I got to fix these things in myself and then I can go to God. It's, no, rest in His presence. Let your soul seek Him first. Right? That's what the text said. Love the Lord your God with what? With all heart, soul, mind and strength. And when we do that, we participate in the sanctification process of what He's doing in our lives. Sanctification is just a big religious word that says Jesus is committed to transforming your life. Jesus is shaping you more and more and more and more and more into His image as we participate in that dance. First step, abstain. Right? Everybody say abstain. That way I know you heard abstain today at church, right? But how do we strengthen the soul? Now that we've created space and God's doing those things, how do I participate with it? How do I yield to Him? How do I walk with Him through His transformation in my life? I'm going to give you seven quick ones, okay? We're going to rip through these. I want to get you out of here on time. But I want you to pay attention to these, okay? Because this is the dance of discipleship. Coming, sitting, hearing the Word of God, responding to the Word of God, worshiping, all these things are disciplines in the Christian faith. It's a way of releasing the life of God into the very work of our days, okay? So the first one that we want to start with, always start with prayer, right? I know most people I talk to, don't feel all that comfortable praying, especially praying out loud or praying in public, right? That's one of those scary things to people. And sometimes it's just because we're out of practice. Sometimes it's because we're afraid we're going to say the wrong thing. And I just want to encourage you today, any kind of praying that you're doing to God is good prayer, right? It's just basically that conversation. It's a reminder that he loves your soul more than you could ever love yourself, and that he just wants to talk with you. It doesn't have to be any particular way. You don't have to lead in with anything other than in Jesus' name, because he's the one that gives us access to him, right? But if you're looking for some framework, you're looking for a way to think through your prayer life, to maybe just give it a breakthrough or a stimulant, something that jumps it forward, we like to teach ACTS. It's an acronym, A-C-T-S, okay? So adoration, right? Adoration is just acknowledging who God is. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are powerful. Lord, you are the God of the universe. It reminds us of who he is in our lives and why he's so worthy of us responding to his leading of our lives. Okay, confession is the second piece. That's the C in it. We have to confess our sins before him, right? Knowing that he already dealt with the capital S sin in our life a long time ago. But we don't want that mess. We don't want that noise in the background when we're trying to connect with our Heavenly Father. And so we confess those things readily, knowing that he is readily available to forgive any sin we confess. Amen? That's the way it works. But if I just call it a habit, if I just call it, taking the edge off, right? Then we're not confessing. We're not asking for his forgiveness. We're not asking him for the deliverance that he so readily wants to make available to us. Third part is thanksgiving. It's the reminder, God, you are all powerful. You are all merciful. Or you love me so much. I've confessed my sin before you. I sit before you in the love and the glow of your wonderful grace in my life. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for these things. And then supplication is to ask for the things that we have need, right? That's what the Lord's Prayer taught us. Lord, ask for what you have need, knowing that your Father in heaven cares about you, cares about every hair on your head or lack thereof, right? He does. So I want to talk just a minute about fasting. Why are we doing this 21-day fast? Well, in a word, it's for breakthrough. It's the reminder that we can seek him more deeply. Amen. It's the reminder. Like when I read when I'm eating like great steaks and potatoes. I know I shouldn't talk about that because we're all on some sort of fasting right now. I haven't had one for 14 days or better. And when we're eating that way, like you read that verse, like, oh, we want to hunger and thirst for his righteousness. You think, oh yeah, hunger, thirst, like I'm gonna go get a snack. Like, but when you haven't had something for a while. Like when you've been waiting and you've been thinking like, oh man, no meat for what? Like there's a different kind of hunger, isn't there? There's hunger pangs. And the beauty of fasting is that we are joyfully and willfully abstaining from something that God has readily made available to us. It's not a bad thing. It's not an evil thing. It's just something that he's made available to remind ourselves that he's first. And as I do that, I feel the hunger deepening. I hope you do too. I hope you sense him pouring himself into all the space that we created doing what we just read about, right? But when it comes to fasting, when it comes to this idea of giving up something that he rightfully made possible for us, some people might consider that a form of kind of suffering, right? And so I want to read Dallas Willard's words on that. He says, whosoever knows best how to suffer will keep the greatest peace. The man is conqueror of himself, the Lord of the world, and the friend of Christ and heir of heaven. Amen. Augustine said that what we love, we are. Right? As we create that space, as we pray, as we go to God first, remembering that he has good words he wants to speak over us, that he'll address our soul and encourage our soul in ways that only he can, right? So we start with prayer and fasting. Second dance step is Bible reading. Bible study. Okay, some of the tools that we use around here are journaling. Anybody journal here? Where you write down kind of things that God, it's kind of flowing through your mind as you're reading the Word, as God, you're applying it to your life. If you don't journal, that's okay. There's lots of great ways to study the Scriptures. I want to give you one tool that's online. If you go to youversion.com, you can download an app, or you can just go to the Apple iStore and get YouVersion app. It's got tons and tons and tons of Bible studies, tons and tons and tons of of different Bibles that can help you get started in this journey, okay? Here at North Rock for decades, we've taught on the Life Journal, right? Anybody remember the Life Journal? Where we used to bind them and everybody would fill them out. S-O-A-P, right? Scripture, observation, application, prayer. Yeah. It's good. It's helpful. So if you don't have one, get one, okay? But the purpose of it is simply to practice the rhythms of grace, to do this soul samba, to remind ourselves that the living God himself indwells us and that he's got strength that you know not of. Amen? Third thing we do is we worship, right? How many of you guys, as we worship together, as they were leading us in worship today, can just feel stuff that was heavy fall off of you? Happens to me all the time. That's why it's so important to have these rhythms of participation in a body of believers. Like we carry stuff around that's not ours to carry, and when we come before God and say, God, you are God, I am not. Like we de-stress. Our soul feels better, right? So worship's important. Fellowship. Okay, that's just a funny word from the Bible. That means we hang out together. We talk about what Jesus is doing in our lives. We encourage each other. We lift one another up. We challenge one another to continue in this dance of grace. I had three interactions this week, one with Jody, one with Adrian, and one with Richard that were just amazing. How many of you guys know that Christian friendship is an amazing thing? It's a gift, and we need to lean into it. That's how we support one another as the body of Christ. It's how Jesus works through his body, okay? Next one is service, right? All the things that I'm saying are steps to that dance that we just saw Napoleon doing, right? And it doesn't feel like that at first. At first you blow it and you just take a couple of steps and you keep getting more and more comfortable with it and it becomes more and more a part of your life. But all these are ways that God encourages our soul as we participate in the body life that he has for us. So this idea of service is God has gifted you. He's given you a soul. He's breathed his life into you as a unique being. That each of us, as we sit here, have different gifts, skill sets, and aptitudes than the other people. And look around. We have good diversity in this church, don't we, folks? Age demography, all the way across the board. We all bring something to the table. We all bring something to the party. And if we'll commit ourselves to service, the idea of sacrificing some time to serve, whether you love working with kids, whether you have the skill sets of playing for worship, whatever it is, inside or outside the church, service is an important part. A couple of reasons. One, it reminds us that God's working through us. Amen? Listen, I'm one of those participation sport guys, right? I'm not good at just sitting and listening like you guys are doing to me, like going, yeah, I get it, right? Like I have to try this stuff out. Lecture, lab, right? Teach and then drill, right? All the things that we do to grow in the grace of God and to bless other people. Service reminds me that whether it's my frugality or the sacrifices that you make to serve other people, it's all for his glory. Amen? It's for his glory and for someone else's benefit. There's us, a we, and that's important in a society that mostly just says, me, 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 me. Right? As we sit together, as we celebrate Jesus amongst each other, we're doing something that's countercultural. You guys recognize that? That's different. And that's important. As a witness of who Jesus is, okay? Final one that I want to talk to you about today is solitude. Now, solitude might be the hardest part in a very busy, rapidly changing, fast-paced society that we live in, right? But solitude's so important. Why? I want you to think about it in the sense of multitasking, right? Most of our new generation can do like four or five things at one time, right? But we can't be fully aware of what's happening with any one of them while we're doing four or five things, right? Watching a video, reading something, listening to tunes, like all at one time. But if we'll get solitude, if we'll get away, if we'll go just like Jesus modeled for us, go up on the hill and sit with him in his presence and just go, God, what do you have to say to my soul today? He's speaking, isn't he? As we create space just in the service, just for a few seconds, God is wanting to encourage your heart. He's wanting to strengthen your soul. Dallas Willard said, we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. in order to experience these things. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we get ready to close. And I just want to end by encouraging your hearts, by reminding you today, as we gather together, that God desires that we live an integrated spiritual life. Amen? Not compartmentalized, not just a piece of the life. The whole verse, everything we've been talking about, all of your life, all of your strength, all of your soul, all of your heart. As we do that, He dances through us. Amen? So here's my challenge. Here's my prayers. As we enter into worship, we have a chance to give Him our whole heart. I mean, all of it. Listen, I know worship is a discipline. Like some of us, especially some of the dudes, I don't know what it is about us, like we don't want to look funny. So we don't want to raise our hand. We don't want to sing out because we can't sing very well, right? Can I just tell you that when you do, there's a freedom that's found in it. There's a reminder that God is empowered and that He lives through us. So in 2019, North Rock, can we make this creed together? Can we give Him all and then watch what He does? Is that fair? Can we do that? That's good. And we can start right now by standing to our feet and by worshiping Him with all of our soul. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace in our lives. Lord, we stand because You live through us. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, fill us anew. Fill us afresh and lead us on in 2019. In Jesus' name, You deserve all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, as we finish our service out today, Lord, we remind ourselves that true life only springs from You. That Your life pours through our lives as we attend to our souls. Lord, as we walk out these dance steps that we've just talked about, Lord, help us to do it with a joy. Help us to do it with a perspective that reminds us that You have good things in store for us, that You have great plans, and that You want to live victoriously through Your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, after the golf clap, of course, let's make room for that. That's good. If we're going to applaud, let's applaud the Lord with all of our heart. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All of our soul. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Yeah. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I don't know that God owns my soul. I don't know that as I stand here today that I've made that decision to trade all of my all for all of His all. Something that He made possible through going to the cross, paying for our sin, so that we could have relationship with Him and grow in the grace of who He is. If that's you today, I'd love to meet you after the service. I've got a gift for you. But we're going to pray a prayer with you as a community that we pray every week here at North Rock, reminding ourselves that our job is to dance the dance of discipleship. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. Let's pray. You can sing it if you like it. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin, that You rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to You the right to direct my life from this day forward. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock. If you need prayer for any need in your life, we have people available for that. Okay, God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.